setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you get there. It is about your purpose in your life and work. I believe those two things are inextricably connected. They are, in fact, the same purpose. You have a role that you were created to fill in your relationships, whatever those are, and in your work. You were created to contribute. So we don't look at work as a utilitarian function that we do to live. We live to work. Is that workaholism? No. But we're saying that we all desire to make this world a better place, and our work is a way to create results that matter deeply to us because we see how they matter to others. And this is the conversation. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. A caller-driven show. It's your show. It's caller, caller, caller. Let's go. Emma's going to start us off in Greenwood, Indiana. Emma, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, Emma. How can I help?
So I'm in a really unique situation in the sense that I know where I want to be career-wise, and I know what my eventual goal is and how I can, you know, serve the world. But I'm at a bit of a crossroads in the meantime. Okay. So let me give you a little bit of background on where I'm at. So I eventually want to work in the agriculture law sector. I am currently a law student. I'm going to law school at night, and I'm working full-time.
Okay.
So my background is very heavily working in agriculture, but I recently took a position 8 or 9 months ago where I was working in the legal field. That position is now not looking like what I had hoped it was going to. It's looking a lot more temporary, and I'm thinking I need to pick my next role and take a step forward in my career. Part of the motivation to go to law school at night was financial and to try to cash flow as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
Since finding the Dave Ramsey programs about 6 months ago, I've realized I need to step that up because debt is terrifying. So right now I'm trying to decide how to move forward. Do I move forward and look for a new role in more of like a paralegal or contract analyst type role where I'm doing some legal functions but obviously not a practicing attorney yet? Or do I maybe pivot back to the agriculture sector and go back and make some of those connections with companies and with businesses that I eventually want to work for when I'm able to practice law?
I think it's a 50-50 for me right now because you know more about it than I do. So what mm-hmm. I mean by 50-50 is I'd be fine with you doing the paralegal and more like, you know, legal type work because I think that's all relevant as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally, of the two, if you made me choose, and again, I'm 50-50 because I think they're both strategic. As long as they're mm-hmm. both making you more money, and that's clearly your goal, is to make a little yeah. bit more money to be able to continue to cash flow your way through law school. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the reason I am truly 50-50, I think both are strategic. But if I okay. had to choose, I feel like working in the ag industry. Now, again, you got to push me on this if I'm right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I feel like that's where I'm leaning if I had to choose because mm-hmm. of the tremendous amount of relationships that mm-hmm. you can get and knowing the actual industry itself, because the legal side is the legal side. And mm-hmm. so if you're choosing between, I'm going to school to be an ag lawyer, so should I do mm-hmm. legal type work or should I work in the ag industry? To me, mm-hmm. the relationships and experience seems to be more valuable. Is that true or is it not really that much of an advantage for you to work in an ag industry type job?
That was where I was leaning. I just needed to hear someone else say it.
Yeah, well, I'm leaning that way too.
That's the push that I needed. That's
right.
The push that I needed.
But listen, both are good decisions because both are just about you making more money right now and just kind of, you know, cash flowing. But I like the ag, just the relationships and experience that's going to mm-hmm. help you be a better lawyer later.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That kind of knowledge is huge.
I also feel like it's going to set me apart when I do go to look for those legal roles, because I'm not just going to be a lawyer that's going to be in the ag world. I'm going to truly be an ag lawyer.
That is absolutely 100% correct. That's why I like that decision better. You and I are on the same page. Way to go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Awesome stuff. You are on your way. All right, let's go to Ashburn, Virginia. Lisa is on the line. Lisa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So in September, I applied for two positions. The first position accepted me very quickly, and so I took it in October. And then the second company just recently offered me a position, and it is actually the dream job. So I accepted a conditional offer. The start date's unknown due to conditions that I need to meet first. But my current company offers about 4 months of maternity leave, and I'm getting very close. And so it looks like I'll come off maternity leave around the time that the new job starts. And I'm just feeling very guilty. I have been for the last 2 months on whether I should, you know, take that maternity leave and then leave the company, or how I should handle that.
Well, number one, let's start with the bigger issue. You have to take the dream job and not look back at all. You can't feel guilty about taking the dream job. That's a part of this guilt, if not the overriding part of it. I think it's more, oh my gosh, I just took this job. I wasn't here that long, and now I'm leaving them for my dream job. No. We don't apologize for taking the dream job, ever. Ever, 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 ever. Okay? Am I clear on that, Lisa?
Yes, definitely.
But maternity leave is a right. Like that's an occupational thing. That's like a right. I get nervous about saying right, but you get what I'm saying. So you're going to get that wherever you are. So do you see what I'm saying? Like maternity leave is maternity leave. It is what it is.
Okay. So I shouldn't feel guilty or like morally wrong for taking that leave and then leaving the company.
No. What's morally wrong about it?
I don't know. I guess since I've just been there, like I would almost be there as long as the leave is.
Okay. Well, here's my point. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
You need to do what you need to do. You need to do what you think is right. But sometimes what we think is right is not about being moral or immoral. Is it immoral for you as a woman who's having a baby to take maternity leave? No, of course it's not immoral. If while you're on maternity leave, you make the decision to leave and stay home, would that be immoral?
No, and I have actually thought about that. I'm like, oh, that would make me feel better.
Okay, but my point is, I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what the difference is between, okay, let me give you an example. I just had somebody on my team tell us in the last month of her maternity leave that she wants to stay at home and be a mom. I was crushed. She's amazing. We're happy for her. But she didn't do anything morally wrong. She went home with her baby in her maternity leave that she is due, and she should take the maternity leave. And in that time at home, she goes, I don't want to come back to work. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. That's not immoral for her to make that decision, nor is it immoral for you to take maternity leave and decide to go somewhere. I don't think that's immoral, no. If it makes you feel a little squishy, what would you say? What would you do differently? Would you say, hey, I'm not going to take maternity leave? They're going to go, huh? Why would you not do that? So I think you need to do what you think is right, but I'm just trying to help you understand, no, it's not immoral, and you need to pursue your dream job. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the three modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. The Ken Coleman Show continues from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. 747-257-7. This is a different kind of talk radio show. We are talking purpose, not politics. What were you created to do? Do you know what it is? Do you have some ideas? No clue at all? All right, that's fine. I can help. The answers are within you. We're going to look at what you do best, your talent, what work you love to do most, your passion, and then the results that matter deeply to you, your mission. And when we can uncover those three gifts that you were given by your creator, now we can get some clues and some connections to some answers. And the good news is, in your sweet spot where you use what you do best to do what you love, to produce results that matter to you, well, there are multiple career paths, multiple dream jobs, and that's what's exciting. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brett in Colorado. Brett, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, Brett. How can I help?
So I recently graduated college in May, and my dream job and dream location is in Idaho. However, I have connections in Arizona and Texas. So my question is, do I take the dream job or the steps to get the dream job in a different location, or do I wait till I can get the dream job in the dream location?
Well, it sounds like you got two really good paths. So if I'm understanding you correct, the dream job exists in those other states as well.
Correct. Yeah.
I go the path that's a little bit easier, because the one with all the resistance is still going to be there. But if it's me, it comes down to efficiency. Okay, dream jobs in three states. I have no connections in one state. At least I don't think I do. And I have connections in the other two states. And if it's still the dream job, I'm going to pursue all three at the same time, I guess is my point. But I certainly would try to get in where I have some connections and relationships. And knowing that I've got more time to be able to establish the relationships, because it takes time sometimes, and eventually get to Idaho. But I mean, while you're pursuing opportunities in those other two states, I'd be digging. I'd start the process of web of connections and go, do I really not know one soul in Idaho? And if I don't, who do I know that knows somebody there? And then begin this process. But you take the pressure off of yourself to get to Idaho quickly by pursuing the other two. So I'm pursuing the other two because I've got better relationships and I'm going to get in and I'm doing my dream job and I'm loving life and I got all the momentum that I need while I'm trying to establish that bridge or build that bridge to Idaho. Make sense?
Yep.
But I mean, hey, essentially while you're pursuing the other two, you're beginning the process of trying to identify relationships in Idaho, and eventually you'll get there. So that's what I think. But yeah, take the opportunity that's in front of you, because again, the dream job can be expanded, and there's lots of opportunity for you to build off of getting in. 844-747-2577. Matt is up next in Selmer, Tennessee. Matt, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going, man?
Matt, I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
Well, a couple months ago, I started what I believe to be is my dream job. Took about 10 years to get to it. I'm absolutely loving it. But in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to do a side hustle of real estate. And I'm not exactly sure. I don't know anybody as a personal friend who I can, you know, ask questions about. I have no idea where to start doing that type of work. And is it actually going to be feasible to be able to balance, you know, full-time job and doing a side hustle like that?
Well, let me start with that part of the question. So based on very successful real estate professionals that I've talked to about this issue as a result of taking calls like this, you can do both, but you won't be wildly successful, and you won't be as successful as you may want to be or as you can, if we're talking about potential as a realtor, if you're not doing it full time. That's what I've been told. So can you do it on the side? Yes. Can you sell houses on the side? Yes. It just depends on how big of a deal you want it to be. But if it's, from what I understand, you're in your dream job and you just also want to kind of have this thing over on the side, then I think you can do both.
you know, selling one to two houses, maybe three houses a year. That's it.
Yes. The answer is yes. Yes. You can do this. So how do you get started?
Yeah.
So you don't know anybody?
Not really.
You don't know anybody? Like, when was the last time you bought a house?
I haven't bought a house yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm still currently renting.
Well, here's the deal. How many people do you know in Selmer, Tennessee?
Pretty much everybody, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so if you know everybody, then that means you are one connection from at least a handful of real estate professionals.
Yeah.
Who are the people signs you see everywhere? In Selmer, Tennessee, if I drove there today, I could spend 1 hour driving and, you know, all around the general area of Selmer. Can't be that big. And I would see real estate signs, and I would see probably at least two or three names that pop up more than others. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one option, but you don't necessarily have to sit down in person with a real estate professional as far as getting started. What you can do is you can look it up and go, okay, what are the qualifications I need in the state of Tennessee to actually get qualified? What's that? So you're going to have to do the real estate school, and then you're going to have to get the licensing, you know, and then ultimately you probably want to get underneath a broker. And so to get started, you just need to save up the money if you don't have it saved up. But the first steps are just, hey, I need to look into local real estate classes or online classes. How much is that going to cost? How long is it going to take me? What's the studying look like? And once I pass, what are the steps? But that's all right out there in front of you. For the same people are going to educate you on the test. And then while you're doing that, you're making connections and trying to find some people who do lunch with you or coffee. And then you go, hey, I'm going to be getting my license soon, and I need a broker. I need somebody to sign me up on their team. Are you interested? And that's where you go from there. But you know, you can get all those answers pretty quickly. So don't wait. Just start talking to people. Just start talking to people. You know, it's fascinating that there's something in the human psyche that when we can't come up with a name or a face right away, when we're thinking about these all-important connections, which get us to where we want to be, whether it be getting us around the right people who give us the information, the education, if you will, that we need, or getting us in the right place where we can get some experience or we can get some clarity on what we think we want to do. Because remember, it's always about people and places. So I wrote the book, The Proximity Principle, which says, came out of the show, came up with a principle one day after the show, after, you know, taking call after call after call, people going, I don't know anybody, I got to get connected. And I look back on my own journey, you know, starting in broadcasting, a brand new industry, which I had no credibility in, no education at all in my, you know, early 30s. And the one thing I figured out along the way, it took me a while and I stunk at it for a while, but I figured out how to get around the right people and get in the right places. And so the proximity principle says, in order to do what I want to do, I got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. And so we get that concept. Everybody gets that. Then we go, okay, who do I know? And so you got Matt, who's just like all of us. Matt goes, I don't know anybody. I don't know any real estate professionals. Okay. All right. How many people you know in Selmer, Tennessee? Well, I pretty much know everybody. Oh. So one question reveals that he has tons of connections and he's probably one degree away from a handful of real estate professionals who are going to be more than willing to let him pick their brain and get their opinion. And some of those people, if not all, might say, hey, I'd be happy to be your broker and bring you under my team. But there's something about our psyche when we can't pull a name or a face right away, we go, oh gosh, I don't know anybody. What am I going to do? No, come on, folks. Dig. Think about those connections. It's not about who you know all the time. Sometimes it's about who they know, the people that you know. So get after it. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to The Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear and get qualified and get connected and get started and get promoted and get the dream job so that you can give yourself away. to truly work with meaning and work like no one else. If you're sick and tired of the Monday to Friday 40, 50-hour slog that makes you miserable on Monday morning, you just can't wait to make it to Friday evening, then this is the place for you. Life is way too short to work like that. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Isaac is up in Yuba City, California. Isaac, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, sir. How can I help?
So it feels like I got a lot going on, and I kind of want some advice on how to best prepare for my future, which is to be a developer and a builder.
Okay.
And just to give you a little background, so I've been in construction pretty much since I was a little kid. Most of my family has been in it. And when I was 20, I decided to build my first house. I built the house from the ground up with $215,000 of loans and debt. I mean, it was scratching and fighting to find the money to finish it. And it was just one of the most stressful times of my life. So got out of that, got a job, started working the baby steps. I'm still in baby step two. I'm finishing my degree, thought I needed a step back and get done with school. So I have one semester left. And a few months ago, I reached out to you on Instagram if I should increase my shovel. I got offered a job that was about double the pay. Mm-hmm. And I know I want to go out on my own soon, but I didn't know if I should just stick with the job I was at or take this other job knowing I'm not going to be there long term. So I ended up taking the job. So now I recently just doubled my income, which is nice, but I still have that goal of wanting to develop, and I just don't know how to do that without going into all that debt again like I was when I was 20. And
yeah, well, I know you don't think you do, but I think you actually do, because that experience you got when you were 20 really did teach you everything you need to know. So mm-hmm. let's just get real practical for a second. If you were to become a developer, whenever that is, whether that's a year from now, 5 years from now, well, how are you going to start? You're going to start with one residential house? What's the plan? How would you do it?
Yeah, I think one residential house, and eventually I want to get into some more commercial type stuff. I see such a big number, and I keep thinking to myself, man, how am I going to come up with all that money without borrowing? And I don't want to borrow. So I've, tried exploring a few different ways, taking on partners that have money, taking on.
Okay, hold on. You got ahead of me. You got way ahead of me. I just wanted you to answer the question. Would you start by building just one house? That would be your goal, right? Just to start with the first spec house or custom house and then sell it and then just keep going, right?
Right.
Okay. So we got to come up with capital. Okay. So realistically, what type of a house, just right off the top of your head, what size, the square footage, you have a general idea about what the house would cost, that if you had the money and you didn't have to borrow it, what would you start out? What range would you start out in?
Money-wise or square footage-wise?
Just the money, the cost of the house, the cost to build it.
About $280,000, $250,000 range.
All right, so let's say $250,000 to $3,000. That's what you got to have in cash so that you don't have to take out a loan. Okay? So how could you, as a guy who loves to build and wants to be a developer, how do you come up with that cash beyond your current income where you've just recently doubled your income? How do you do it? To me, I go, all right, there's one way, one clear way for me to pile up cash pretty fast or faster that also prepares me to be a developer. And if it were me, I would be doing home reno projects, maybe find a $50,000 house or an $80,000 house. And, it's probably worth $120,000, but you get it for $80,000 and you fix it all up and you flip it and you do it all cash. You double your money quick, or you start doing home reno projects on nights and weekends or something like that. And you make $30,000 here, then you make another $20,000 here. And before you know it, you've got the $250,000 to $300,000. To me, that's how you cash flow your way into this. And you need the experience anyway, because doing home reno projects is being a contractor, essentially.
Right.
Even if you do a lot of the work yourself. But if you do it with other subs, now you're building a relationship with subs. And all that stuff becomes very viable experience. How to do a budget for a client. It's all great experience, but it's no risk because you're not doing anything risk related. You're not taking on any debt. You got a couple going, hey, we want you to redo our bathroom or do the room over the garage. That's how I would do it.
Okay.
I mean, are you getting what I'm laying down? Is it? I mean, you're seeing how that's possible?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I've considered maybe starting to buy building for people that have land and want to build their home on it and being their contractor. Because I am a contractor.
Well, there's that too. See, there's that too. Then they're paying you. There's no loan. They're paying you.
Right. Right.
Yeah. See, I didn't even know you were already a licensed contractor. So, man, listen. That's another way to do it.
Mm.
How quickly can you amass that money? See, dude, you just gotta go, oh, this is the way to do this, and I'm going to be so much wealthier because I'm not going to take any loans out, and I'm going to do this a little bit differently than everybody else because I can, because I just got myself a really good day job that pays me double what I used to make. So I'm sitting pretty. So I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to cash flow my way into my first house and then the second house, the third house. Before you know, you've just been rolling cash and rolling cash and rolling cash and rolling cash. That's how you do it.
Right.
Come on, man. You and I just came up with a plan right there, buddy.
It's a great plan. It makes a lot of sense. I guess the influence, my father, who I met when I was an adult, is a builder, and he leverages millions of dollars, and I see how stressed he is every day, and I'm like, no thanks, I'm not getting into that, so kind of.
No, and you don't have to, and now you and I have just proven that there is a path that does not require a loan, and you can do it. And by the way, not just is that the smart money way to do it, you're going to get a ton of great experience. A ton of great experience, you know, playing that contractor role. But I love the idea of also, if you can find a family that's got some land and they're ready to build and they want a really personal, intimate relationship with a builder, you're not some big time company. I mean, you're super hands on. I see that being a really, really great way to do it. You know, let somebody else take the risk. I want to stop short of saying that there's always another way, but there's almost always another way. So when you look at the traditional route, I don't care what it is, school, money, buying a home, I don't care what it is in society, there are some traditional routes. Think of it as the lanes that most people are driving down, right? You got your interstates. That's kind of, everybody does it this way, or most people do it this way. But you know, every time, Joe, that I've had to take a detour or I'm on the interstate, of course, you and I live in the Atlanta area for a long time, so it was like a daily occurrence. I can't tell you how many times I was on 75, 85 or whatever, or 400, right? 285, which is basically the highway to hell. And traffic stopped up and you get off and there's always another way. It might be a lot longer. It might be more difficult, but there's another way. You can get there. And I think the message that I want to remind us as much as I possibly can is that there's a little old phrase spin around forever, and I don't know who's the source of it. But it says this, where there is a will, there is a way. And what that basically means is, if you want to get there, you'll find a way to get there. And I think sometimes it takes us a while to get to that conclusion. And what I'd like us to do in every area of our lives, when we see hurdles, when we see detours, let's start with the premise that we all end up at, which is there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. If you want to, you'll figure out a way to get there. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Bringing some purpose to talk radio, this is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you have decided to join us. We take your ears, very seriously because we know that you were created to fill a unique role through your work. And if you're tired of Sunday night feeling the agony of, oh, I got to get through another week, feeling the stress and anxiety from either a toxic work environment or just being bored out of your skull as you're driving into the parking lot on Monday morning, well, this is the show for you. Life is way too short for you to work like that. Let's help you get on purpose and experience true joy in your work. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Quick reminder, at kencoleman.com, we have a ton of great free resources. Our Get Hired guides include the resume guide, the How to Win the Interview guide, and the follow-up, it's called the Touchpoint Timeline, how to follow up after the interview, which are really three guides that all go together to help you stand out in the process. We have so many more free resources, Should I Quit My Job quiz, how to work through the sweet spot exercise, and so we've got so many free resources at kencoleman.com. All right, to the phones we go. Marie is joining us in Phoenix, Arizona. Marie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi there, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call and for all the help that you've given a lot of people.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I feel like I'm a little bit too multifaceted. I'm having trouble really clarifying my passion right now in this stage of my life.
Okay.
And just in a nutshell, I have a really strong customer service background, over 30 years in the airline industry and various jobs in that, sales, marketing, and flight attendant, and so forth. I've worked for three different major airlines and took an early retirement package, and then pursued retail, got my real estate license, and was getting just a little bit bored with that a little bit, because things weren't happening as much. And then my husband came on board 2 years ago, and then, we joined a team a year and a half ago, so we felt kind of motivated with that. But, as far as passion, getting up in the morning and just feeling, motivated and everything, and, I also sing on the side, I took 7 years of voice lessons. I mean, I feel like there are facets in my life that I've loved and I've enjoyed, and I can pick out pieces in the real estate industry that I like, and there are things I don't, honestly. And
something feels like it's just really missing. You're having a hard time putting your finger on it.
Yeah. And I've done I've done the quiz twice. Mm-hmm. I purposely did it a month apart. And it's the first it said wrong and then right, and then wrong, and I'm like, okay, what's wrong with me? What's, can I get some definition here?
Well, I think there's clues from that. So you got wrong role, right place the first time you took the Should I Quit My Job quiz?
Right.
And then you got wrong role, wrong place. So what happened was I think in a month's time, you just got more and more confirmation that you're just not doing what you want to do. And so at first you kind of scored right place because, you probably do like the environment. You probably do like the people. But over a little bit more time, you're like, look, I'm just not supposed to be here. And that's what's obvious to me. So don't read too much into those two test results. That's pretty consistent. You started the call by saying you're having a hard time narrowing down your passion, which I define as work you love doing. So when someone tells me that, that tells me they've got a lot of different ideas or they're very clear on a lot of different things they love to do. And they just need to find the patterns. And that those patterns, like the clues of all those different things you love to do and how they can all come together. Is that true? Is that what you think's going on?
Yeah. Cause I'm constantly making lists, like, okay, I feel this way and this, and
so,
it's like, yes.
What if you give me the actual, so there's no way a person like you, based on what you've told me so far, there's no way you've not allowed your mind to wonder. You've allowed your mind to dream, daydream, whatever you want to call it, about some potential things. I know you have. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right, let's give me the top two or three.
Oh, man.
Come on. And don't be ashamed. Just don't give me any qualifiers. Just let it rip. Just let them roll off your tongue. Go.
Okay, because I know I can get really analytical, too.
Yep.
So I think about being a professional vocalist, I think about doing a production, I just think it'd be so fun.
Okay.
I, I love singing, but I'm kind of tired of doing it by myself. I want to be with a team, you know. And
okay, so professional vocalist is one. What's number two?
Mm-hmm. Being able to continue travel. I mean, there are a lot of places in the world that I still haven't seen.
Well, now that's not work you love. That's just a personal hobby thing that you want to do. I'm talking about you've dreamed of doing this professionally. What else?
I'm an organizer. So in the area of real estate or staging, you know, I wouldn't mind being part of a team where, you know, you can do some staging for the homes and so forth.
Interesting. And you're a realtor. You're a realtor right now, right?
Yes, I am.
So really, it's almost about you. It's almost like it's almost like walking across the aisle. Yeah, I've been over here on this side of the aisle. I think I want to move over to this side. Isn't that really what you're saying? You're going, I don't know that I want to get out there and show and list and do all that. I kind of like interior decorating and arranging and kind of making something look pleasing.
Yeah, I do. You know, I love, you know, walking in and there's some decor and I start thinking about, you know, oh, that looks great, you know, and I could kind of organize this. And
all right.
I
don't start moving
the furniture around. But,
is there anything else that you've really allowed your heart to wonder about? This would be
coaching.
So fun. Coaching.
Yeah. In the area of in the area of music, I've thought about, you know, coaching performers, you know, because there's a lot of, I have an undergrad degree in psychology. So, I'm a good listener. So, you know,
all right, let me ask you this. I know I interrupt you. I'm sorry. Cause I only got about two and a half minutes. So I really want to make this count.
Okay.
Are you financially at a place where you have to make a certain amount of money? Or you have some more freedom?
I have a little more freedom than others. You know, I am married. My husband has a pretty good pension.
If you were going to be a professional vocalist in Phoenix, Arizona, what does that mean?
A lot more marketing. Really sprucing up the website. You know, of course, there's not a lot of venues open right now, but
I'll tell you what I think you should do. You ready?
Yeah.
I think you should consider moving into interior decorating. When you started talking about that, you could hear the wistfulness. You're like, oh, I just love going in and seeing how a room could be and making it look nice. So whether that's staging for your current real estate friends, or you do some type of interior decorating, you go to work for somebody else, but I think you need to move into a more creative role. And I like that idea of getting into staging and interior decorating. That's also a creativity exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a very creative soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know it.
Yeah.
And so
I question it sometimes because I can't write a song. You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You create an experience by performing music.
Mm.
Yeah. I've heard some pretty powerful performances in my life from artists who didn't write the song. They were blowing out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that's not creative expression. You know it is. So now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go day job. This is what I think. You talk to your husband about this, but me listening to you, I'd like to see you consider moving into a much more exciting day job that's in your sweet spot of doing that staging and interior decorating. Then I want you to start trying to coach again. It's a dual thing. The side hustle now is going to be you teaching voice lessons and also looking for opportunities to perform in local theater. Just get out there. Who cares if you're making any money at it? Because right now we want to take all the pressure off of it. And you need to get out there and sing again and let that heart just completely express itself through music. And I think if you start, and you can always quit, but the idea of coaching and voice lessons, that's a big part of who you are. And it makes you a professional musician because you're being paid to give voice lessons, and that's why you're kind of rebuilding and getting back out there and seeing if you can start doing some BGVs maybe for somebody in studios, or if you start showing up in all these other places and doing, you know, local theater. That's what your path is, and I think it's going to open up. Hey, before I go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.